From the JAMA Network, this is JAMA Surgery Author Interviews. Conversations with authors exploring the latest clinical research, reviews, and opinions featured in JAMA Surgery.
This is Dr. Amalia Cochran, the web and social media editor for JAMA Surgery, here today talking to Dr. William Cooper and Dr. Gerald Hickson, both from Vanderbilt's Center for Patient and Professional Advocacy, about their publication, Surgeons' Unprofessional Behaviors Described by Coworkers in Electronic Event Reports are Associated with an Increased Risk for Surgical Complications. Bill and Jerry, welcome.
Good morning.
Great to be with you today, and we really appreciate your interest in this topic.
It's a thrill for us to get to learn more from both of you firsthand. Obviously, with your work with the Center for Patient and Professional Advocacy, you both have a longstanding interest in unprofessional behavior. Dr. Hickson, I know you and I have crossed paths talking about these issues. So for this particular study, what in particular motivated your interest in examining unprofessional behavior as it specifically relates to surgical complications?
Amalia, again, thank you for the interest in the topic. And you know, and you and I have interacted for a number of years, and over those past 20 years or so, our center's team members have really been interested in understanding better the why that a relatively small subset of clinicians by specialty just seem to have a far greater share of malpractice claims experience than their colleagues. Back in the early 2000s, our team began to report that patients were more likely to complain about those high-risk clinicians, that they communicated poorly, were not available when needed, that they modeled disrespectful, unprofessional behaviors toward other members of the medical team. And it generated the obvious question that we wanted to address, and that was whether or not high malpractice claims risk was simply the result of the occasional bad or unexpected outcome superimposed on an unhappy patient-physician relationship, or if the things families were seeing and reporting, the disrespect, the unprofessional behaviors, were also being experienced by other members of the medical team, clinicians, nurses, in ways impacting outcomes of care. That really generated our interest and was a question we've been dying to ask and answer for a number of years.
So basically the idea that you were pursuing is your suspicion was that this behavior does not happen in a vacuum, that it's more part of a global pattern of how people interact with the world around them.
And also the fact that patients and staff are uniquely positioned to see how we function and behave, and that if we, in fact, provide an opportunity for them to speak up, we can learn a lot to help improve our systems and sometimes to prompt more professional behavior.
One of the questions that I had as I was reading the article was the definition of coworkers with regard to the reporting of events. What job categories specifically were included in the coworkers definition?
Coworkers in the study really included anyone in the clinical environment who interacted with the surgeon. This includes other physicians, nursing professionals, technicians, learners, other trainees. And we find that anyone in an environment who interacts in a way that they witness unprofessional or experience unprofessional behavior has the opportunity to address it in the moment, or in these cases, to enter it as a safety event report into our electronic event reporting system that our hospital and most hospitals around the country have.
I know that also for the way that you all presented your data in the manuscript that you had specific domains of unprofessional behaviors that were identified and utilized. What is the origin of these domains of unprofessional behaviors? Where did those come from?
We published a study last year analyzing different behaviors by professions that were recorded by coworkers. And in that, we found that they really mapped to four main domains. These included behaviors about the care delivered, where a physician may violate the procedures of care, also about communication coming onto a unit and making insulting comments about an individual or a team, questions about integrity where a physician may instruct a patient services representative or another team member to create a false patient in the schedule so that their schedule looks full. And finally, responsibility, where after a nursing professional explains the verbal order policy for a hospital or health system, the physician may still refuse to enter an order into the system.
Okay, those are, I think, an exceptionally helpful framework that really are very inclusive of the sort of events that those of us that work in this space do see on a routine basis. What was the biggest challenge that you all faced in both designing and then executing this study? What were the hard parts of this?
Well, I'll start with some of the easy things. One of the easy things was finding surgical collaborators. We find in all of our work that surgeons in general are very interested in understanding ways to improve outcomes for their patients. So they participate in helping us think through framing the question and organizing the study. The biggest challenge is really linking complex data sets that have all of these coworker concern reports with the NISQIP data set, ensuring that we've got the right surgeon mapped to the right case, and also identifying the appropriate point in time. So each patient had a date of their operation, and we wanted to make sure that we had the right time and the right surgeon. So that was a big challenge, but ended up being a fascinating part of designing and executing the study.
You all were broadly inclusive regarding the complications included in the study, looking not just at complications that were directly attributable to the surgery itself, but also at any NSQIP-reported complication throughout the perioperative period. What was the thought behind that decision? And do you all believe that the surgeon's behavior is reflected more broadly than just with what happens in the operating room?
We hypothesized that a surgeon behavior would affect team performance along the whole continuum of care. Lots of the outcomes that are measured by NSQIP really relate to things where there may be distractions or small slips and lapses and changes in performance based on unprofessional behavior. Because we found that in this study, many of the behaviors occurred either in the pre-op evaluation, in the holding area, in the operating room, in the ICUs or post-op care, or even in post-op follow-up care. So the behaviors occurred along that continuum. And you could see how someone altering their practice because of their observation or receipt of disrespectful behavior may change how they behave. And when we actually looked at, for example, medical complications and surgical complications separately, we found the same associations, which suggests that it really is a global effect on individual and team performance.
That's fascinating to me, simply because I don't know that anyone has really managed to successfully identify that previously, even though I think many of us believe it to be true, that the surgeon who is disruptive in the operating room and may drive a complication in that venue is often, although not always, someone who's disruptive in other venues as well, and clearly that does, based on your findings, have a broader impact.
You could see the impact, for example, if a nursing professional brings up the opportunity for a timeout, and the surgeon says, look, you saw me consent the patient, we're all on the same page here, let's just keep going. How many times is the nurse going to bring that up with the same surgeon before the nurse stops bringing it up? These behaviors happen in other settings where not only potential a lack of respect for an individual colleague, but also a respect for the health system or hospital's policies and approaches to quality and safety.
So what finding do you believe is the most impactful from the study?
One of the findings that I hope will impact day-to-day practice is, in fact, this linkage that's demonstrated by the study between disrespect, unprofessional behaviors as modeled by few and avoidable outcomes of all kinds. We think that teamwork is incredibly important to great care. That teamwork requires respect and a willingness of all team members to speak up in the right time. All surgeons want to deliver the safest, highest quality outcomes possible. I mean, that's who we are. It's who we aspire to be. But our study makes the case that cognitive and technical competence alone is not sufficient. Best surgical outcomes also depend on factors which promote strong functional teams, sharing core values, knowing each other's roles, being able to speak up when concerns or uncertainties occur, and having respect modeled by all. To me, this is an important finding. It's something we need to take to heart and continue to create ways to operationalize right care, safe care, which is also respectful care.
Which finding from the study was the biggest surprise to you and to your investigator team? Was there anything that when you all did all the analyses, started putting all of it together, that you thought, wow, we did not expect to see that?
You know, Amalia, as far as the results, what surprised me, I think, was the magnitude of the effect that we've identified. Now, if, and it's always an if, our results are generalizable across the U.S., there may be over 500,000 surgical site infections, medical complications, including pneumonias, respiratory failures requiring reintubation, acute renal failure, sepsis, things that could be prevented each year if we simply had surgical theaters where we operate with respect. One of the things that I have been traveling recently, and our colleagues in Australia and New Zealand and in Southeast Asia have initiated efforts to operate with respect, and I think that really says something about the importance of teamwork and the clear recognition of the leadership roles that surgeons must play in the surgical theater. And so to me, it's magnitude, but at the same time, the potential to deliver great care improvements if we simply take these learnings to heart.
You know, it's one of those things that sounds incredibly simple, right? I mean, it shouldn't be that hard for us to help build these cultures where surgeons operate with respect, and that's the expectation, and all of these things happen, and we're able to provide higher quality, improved safety for the care of our patients. Yet the reality is, because of the length of time you all have been working on this and that I've been working on this, we know it's not that easy. Based upon what you all learned from this study, what recommendations do you have for a path forward in terms of how do we make this happen?
You know, I think it is incredibly common sense. But as the saying goes, common sense is not always common practice. And I think we often embrace these notions conceptually. But how do you turn it into day-to-day activity is really difficult. And the other thing that I want to make a point is that even though this study, we're focused today on surgeons and surgical outcomes, the challenges associated with addressing unprofessional behaviors across all medical disciplines, including pediatricians, of which I'm one, to medicine to surgery, humans are humans, and medicine and surgery are inherently stressful, and all of us have an occasional bad day. And for all those reasons, I'm going to assert that professionals first have got to commit to regularly assessing their own performance. I think we need to ask each other to do that. And a little self-reflection, I believe, can be a good thing. And the question is, when I walk into the OR, do I make it harder or easier for others to do their own work? And then I think we often need to partner with other professionals, often in the context of a medical staff or practice group, as we've done at Vanderbilt, to build the professional will coupled with the required infrastructure to support a pursuit of professional accountability. So as an example here, we partnered collectively across our organization over the last 10 years to develop a set of core values, a credo. I think that's really important to have that articulated, and especially when they reinforce the importance of respect in the workplace. It also means, I think, that we encourage team members, as Bill has mentioned earlier, to speak up in the moment. That's the best time, but you and I both know that sometimes it's not possible to share with someone in the moment, and in that circumstance, we must have the ability to share those stories either later or through a safety event reporting system. And at Vanderbilt, we found no difficulty in finding and in equipping peer messengers who are willing to sit with their colleagues and share, at least initially, in a non-judgmental, respectful way, the stories, and then again ask colleagues to simply reflect on the events. This approach is effective and works in most circumstances and prevents recurrence, and we've got measures to that effect. But I also want everybody to keep in mind, and let me emphasize, that the vast majority of surgeons, internists, pediatricians are never associated with reports of unprofessional behavior in the first place. And so organizations have got to be equipped to address, they've got to create the infrastructure, but then they've got to be willing, and this is the tough place, to address the exceedingly small number of surgeons or internists or pediatricians who are unwilling or unable to respond. But these study results reinforce the need for us as professionals to address unprofessional behaviors as threats to team performance, to outcomes of care, and certainly an issue of patient safety. So to me, those are some of the important messages that we've tried to put into operation at our institution and in partnership with others. But it is a long way to get to where we want to be.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, I really appreciate your time sitting down and talking to me and helping me provide our readers with a little bit more insight into your work in this area and the implications of that work, because I think they're both exciting and very important. Is there anything else that you'd like to add in closing?
Well, one of the interesting things that we find is that studies like this really answer one question and hopefully identify several questions that may follow from it. So what we're finding is that nationally in work, as Jerry described, in identifying those small number of physicians who are outliers, given that 80 to 85% of those who develop patterns of these types of behaviors and have multiple events, when you give them data, they respond. And so if they get better, we'd love to do a follow-up study to see that if the interventions occur, do they have better outcomes as a group?
Ah, I like that idea, basically seeing if there's durability over time when we do support people to help them be more effective.
Absolutely.
That really is what a profession does. We generate questions. Why is it that some stand out? We begin to explore, to try to understand, but not just to understand, but to then equip fellow professionals to help each other mutually support right outcomes of care, and the durability, the sustainability of the work is all important. So that's part of where we're going, but this has been one of those steps along the way.
And it's definitely an important step in continuing to advance us so that we can grow and improve in this space. Again, I would like to thank Dr. Jerry Hickson and Dr. Bill Cooper from the Vanderbilt Center for Professional and Patient Advocacy, talking to me today about surgeons' unprofessional behaviors described by coworkers and electronic event reports being associated with an increased risk for surgical complications. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.